And from Ruth, we continue our readings now in the Gospel according to Mark. It's Mark chapter 12. It's nearing the end of the chapter. Remember that in Mark's 12th chapter and the 11th chapter, Jesus has been debating back and forth with people called scribes, lawyers, teachers of the law in and around Jerusalem. This is only really days before his arrest. This is, and I'll repeat this in the sermon because I think it's worth noting, the last really public act of Jesus' teaching. And there's more teaching in Mark. Just most of it occurs in more private settings. So this is Mark chapter 12, beginning at verse 38. We get a compare and contrast here from Mark in our text today. At verse 38, as Jesus taught, Jesus said, "Beware of the scribes who like to walk around in long robes and be greeted with respect in the marketplaces, to have the best seats in the synagogues and places of honor at banquets. They devour widows' houses and pay, and for the sake of appearance, say long prayers. They will receive the greater condemnation." Then Jesus sat down opposite the treasury, and he watched the crowd putting money into the treasury. Many rich people put in large sums. But a poor widow came up and put in two small copper coins, coins which are worth a penny. Then Jesus called his disciples and said to them, "Truly I tell you, this poor widow has put in more than all those who are contributing to the treasury. For all of them have contributed out of their abundance. But she, out of her poverty, has put in everything she had, all that she has to live on." That's the conclusion of chapter 12 from the Gospel according to Mark. And our verses from the New Testament are along with Ruth from the Old Testament, the Word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. And now, friends, may we be drawn into the Scripture that we may be led out from it, that in the things that we share, the thoughts that we think, the way that the Scripture challenges us or moves us or speaks to us, may it be of use in this world, that each of us might become the disciples that God has called us to be and the men and women of faith and character that Jesus desires. Amen. Well, like many of you, I get marketing emails all the time, sometimes 5-10 a day. Firms, email me. Lord only knows how many times my email address has been sold and traded over the last 10 years. "We'll help your church build a better website. Be a better preacher." Those are my favorites. "We can help you increase membership in your church. Be a better evangelist. Have more baptisms. Our video package will help you with long-range planning and stewardship." I get dozens, I really do. Two caught my attention this week. The first, and this is really rich, said that the average American sermon in Protestant churches is, wait for it, 37 minutes long. That's the average. That means some guys and ladies out there are going like 60 plus minutes each and every week. Now, I usually preach 12 to maybe 15, 27 minutes max. That means I'm giving away to everybody here anywhere from 10 to 25 minutes every week. I mean, that's a value add for the White Memorial Presbyterian Church. I'm a bargain, White Memorial. I'm doing pretty good. Here's what the other one that caught my attention said. It said that the average American gives about 3.7% of their monies to churches or charitable efforts. And then the Presbyterian Foundation has long published a fact, and I checked it again this year, and they say it remained true through the recession. The Presbyterian Foundation, one of our best and most important partners that we have, estimates that Presbyterians give about 2% of their monies to their churches on average. Now, some think that those numbers are too low, and they ought to be higher. And I know other people who think, oh, those are about right, when you consider the many financial pressures that people face. Because the truth is, some of us have more to give. We have more that's expendable or that can be given away. We just make more. And some people, maybe families, maybe people living on single incomes, have much greater financial pressures. So I wonder today, what do you think about the two emails that I got? Now, and I'm not talking about the longer sermons, because I have never had anyone in 22 years of preacher ever come up to me, that sermon would have been better if it was longer. Make it 37 minutes next time, and it'll be really good. No, what do y'all think about giving, about sharing, generosity and stewardship? I mean, if you've listened to me these last years, you already know what I think. What do y'all think? See, what are they? Well, they're your personal response, generosity and stewardship, personal response to God's presence and God's grace in your life. And you give back, we give back as people to God in acts of worship and in acts of prayer, in sharing our time with other people, and ultimately in supporting the work of a church or a charity by making a pledge and giving from your resources. I'm happy to say, I'm not proud of it because it's what we're supposed to do, but I'm happy to share that in the 26 years my wife and I have been married, we've made a pledge to a church in all 26 years. It's a good spiritual practice. Why do we do it? Because we can never fully account for all the goodness that our churches have added to our lives. And I would say that we would give whether I was a pastor or not, and I would say that we are all the richer for our giving. I mean, stewardship, generosity, they've become a vital part of our home. Now, our two texts today, even though they don't seem connected, if you paid attention, they are really connected because they're both ultimately about giving, even though they come to the topic from different angles. They involve two of what I think are the great women of the Bible. Ruth, whose story is so beloved, she has a whole book who bears her name, and an unnamed widow. A woman who probably never even knew that Jesus was talking about her in Mark 12. Both of them give testimony to extravagant generosity, and they are worthy of our praise. So how about Ruth? Well, Ruth is the Bible's great love story. When you first meet Ruth at the beginning of her book, she is starving to death with her mother-in-law and her sister-in-law. And these three women decide to stick together. And eventually they are taken into the house of a guy named Boaz. And long before our text today, Ruth received some romantic advice for how to get Boaz's attention, Boaz has long shown his generous heart. What has he done? Well, he's taken in three starving women. Let me note, they're all three starving widows. There's the parallel. He's taken three starving widows into his household and allowed them to forge a new life. He has shared with them and proven that he is faithful and good. And in our text today, we learn that Ruth is now willing to give him all she has. What does she have to give? Only her heart. That's all she's got. There are other twists and turns, yes. Other twists and turns. But the point is the point. They are both generous. Generous with what they have. And we are blessed by their example. Now note this, when we talk about widows, I think some of you already know, but you need to know every time you hear widow in Scripture, that being a widow in the ancient world was no easy task. The prophets repeatedly admonished God's people, to give them some special care and concern. And here in Mark 12, Jesus is doing something of the same, showering praise upon an unnamed woman who has put all she had to live on in the treasury of the temple as an act of her faithfulness. It's an act of generous stewardship on her part. Now, this brief episode is critical to Mark. Remember, it's Jesus' last act of public teaching. And the remaining lessons of Mark, when I say public teaching, will all be in closed circles. They'll be inside the jail once Jesus is arrested, or they'll be face to face in private with the authorities who are going to sign his death warrant as he ascends the cross. Furthermore, not only is it public, it's really important to Jesus. Mark says that, quote, Jesus called the disciples to him end quote, meaning that Jesus wanted their whole, undivided attention as he taught them about the extravagant generosity of this particular woman. In other words, Jesus goes out of his way to notice her and to praise her. So who is she? We have no idea. She comes and goes quietly out of the pages of the Bible, but her faithfulness makes her the most famous widow that we see anywhere in the Bible, and really one of the most famous women in Scripture, so famous that her praises have been sung throughout history and theology. Hymns are written about her. Books have been written about her. Her impact is greater than the impact probably of any one church in the history of the world. Why? Because she does her part. I mean, her gift is a couple pennies. It has very little impact. It's a very small amount. But what Jesus notices is the intention of her giving. She intends to give sacrificially. No more, no less. I doubt she ever wanted any praise when she put her coins in the little bin. She just intends to give it, even if it costs her very much. And then she makes us ask another question of ourselves. Do we intend to be generous with the lives, the talents, the time, the resources that God has given us? And what would the world look like if we all did our part, if we all pulled our weight and gave not with distraction, which is how so often I give. I'll just write a check, put it in there. But if we gave with intention. Long ago, the prophet Malachi called the people. He said, give with intention. Let stewardship be a force in your life. Give back to God and to others as an extension of gratitude for the blessings that we have all received. I mean, maybe the widow that we meet in Mark, who gives her two pennies, what Mark calls all that she had, maybe one time, just once, she heard a 37-minute sermon on Malachi. And maybe that sermon was really, really good. Or maybe it's likely God touched her heart. And she realized that while she didn't have much, she had been blessed more at least than somebody that had nothing. Blessed enough to give it and share it. However small her blessings, she decided to share them. See, in both the book of Ruth and at the end of Mark 12, the Bible gives us these two examples of abundant generosity, of extraordinary stewardship. What if we acted more like Ruth and Boaz, or more like this unnamed woman in Mark? Well, before I answer that, I'm going to check the time. Oh, I got a lot of time left. At least to be average, but I don't want to be average. I mean, kidding aside, I think it's worth noting one more thing. There's a major compare and contrast here in our text from Mark. Y'all might remember compare and contrast tests from when we are younger, and some who will hear my sermon today may even have had one this week. I think they still do that in school. In our comparison and contrast from our very little number of verses, we have a hero who is the woman, the widow. And we've got villains, those whom Jesus sees as hypocrites. They act generously out in public, but they're not generous in private. They act magnanimous everywhere they go, but really they lust after power and greed. And as my old New Testament teacher once said and has written, quote, in the Bible, hypocrisy is always a dirty word, end quote. See, in the end, Jesus makes a shining example of our unnamed woman. She is unforgettable. And no, she's not as blessed or as fortunate, as wealthy, as resourced as most of us. But she shares the blessings she's got. So sharing what we have to share, I think the truest hallmark of generosity and the truest sign of authentic stewardship is the intention with which we give. I think it's one of the most important lessons that we can take to heart. And Jesus goes out of his way to make sure that we will remember it. So for today, let's remember the generosity of a, of a man who takes in three women who really have nothing to contribute to his household, but does it because it's the right thing to do. It's an act of generosity towards someone else. And let's remember an unnamed woman praised throughout history because she gives with great, great intention. In the name of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, may we remember these words this day, and may we greet one another today at the table. Amen.
Clara, that was lovely. That was really good. That was really good. That's one of those pieces that I think if you hear it and really listen, you never forget it. We'll talk later. I'll tell you my favorite part. So, every now and then we sing the benediction. And that hymn is really beautiful. It goes back, I think, to the 12th century. And if you look at that, it says we're to be peacemakers. It says we're to welcome others. It says we're supposed to share. I mean, it's all there. Go read it. Sit, listen to the poster, and read the words of the hymn again. And it's absolutely beautiful. Sometimes we sing our own benediction, which is what I think we've done today. May the Lord bless and keep you. May light and grace shine upon you. May the Holy Spirit bless, guide, and sustain you until we meet again, that we might, each of us, live with the kind of intentionality that God desires we live with. Thanks be to God, and amen.